This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in the Spirit of Christ as we worship. I'd like to welcome all of you who are here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream, and invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're on live stream, there's a link on the screen. You can cut and paste and put it in your browser. We can't figure out a better way to do that and register that way. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you'll take those and pass them down. If you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love to have an email address or a mailing address that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and begin that conversation together. If you are a college student, you're invited to lunch after church. The church's treat. The group will gather at noon in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary, and you'll go together to someplace close by for lunch. I have a son in college, and I know how much good food makes a difference, so we hope you'll join us. Later this afternoon at 3 o'clock, I want to invite you to a public gathering at Jefferson Street Missionary Baptist Church. This is organized by NOAA, Nashvillians Organized for Action and Hope. Lots of faith organizations and other organizations. The mayor will be with us, as well as other public officials, to have some conversation around issues in our community like affordable housing and the development at East Bank and mental health care and so forth. So we invite you to come to that. There will be the church bus. We'll leave at 2:15 from the parking lot, and I think there's still some seats available if you'd like to ride with others to that event. Then next Saturday from 9 to 12 is our Creation Care Recycling Day. It's a great opportunity to recycle some things like computers and appliances and things. If you go to the website listed in the bulletin, you'll see all the things they'll be recycling on that day. So we can do our part to take care of God's good earth. As we gather for worship this morning, we meet Jesus as he walks through the margins between Samaria and Judea, and we encounter people that he encounters there. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear this story and see what it might have to teach us this day.
Jesus, Savior, have mercy on us.
Where we need healing, make us whole.
Where we are isolated and excluded, bring us near.
Where we are shamed, break our bonds.
Where we are dying, bring us back to life.
Jesus, Savior, have mercy on us.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we are reminded of the times when you have been there for us. You have healed us, you have freed us, and you have walked with us, even in the midst of our most challenging days. And yet too often, we attribute our deliverance or our successes to our strivings rather than your grace. We forget to give you praise and thanks. We put our trust in the wrong places. We fail to help those neighbors journeying with us who also need grace and healing. Have mercy on us, O God. Bring us back to ourselves. Help us to be people who praise your name and people who offer mercy and grace to all. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scriptures are read and the words proclaimed. We may hear with joy what you say with us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, ten lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
As the grown-ups are being seated, I'd like to invite any children who are here this morning to come join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home or if you're on fall break and you're in Disney World or something, hope you'll move a little closer to your screens. It is fall break, so we have some folks traveling today. Come on up. Welcome. 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 Come on up, Harper. Thank you. Got some more folks coming. Great to see you this morning. Good job reading the scripture, Harper. That's good. Hi, come on up. Welcome. Well, Sunday mornings start really early for me. I get up really early so I can be all ready for the 8:45 service. So that means I had breakfast about 6:15 this morning, 5 hours ago, so now I'm hungry, and I could really use a snack. Oh, please, please, does anybody have a snack? Please, do you have a...
I've got a snack.
Nancy has a snack. Thanks. Yum, yum, yum.
Apple.
That's an apple. You know what? I feel like maybe I didn't say thank you enough to Miss Nancy, Pastor Nancy. I was like, please, 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 I'm hungry, please, please, please. She gave me the apple, and I was like, thanks. Maybe I should turn toward Nancy and say thank you so much, because I was hungry, and you had something to help me, and you helped me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My parents always taught me it was always important to say please when I was asking for something, and it was always really important to say thank you. Well, my grandmother used to give each of us a dollar for Christmas. My parents would say, now you need to sit down and write your grandmother a thank you note. Do your parents tell you you should say thank you to people when they give you things? Yeah. But you know what? It's such a good thing to say thank you. Because when I just grabbed the apple and started eating, I missed out on a hug from my friend Nancy. And now I feel closer to Nancy because she did something nice for me and I got to say thank you. In the story that Harper read for us a minute ago, Jesus healed 10 people who were sick. 9 of them got better, and they sort of went on their way. But one of them stopped and turned back around to Jesus and said, thank you. And from that day on, he and Jesus had a friendship and a relationship. So this is a good reminder to me and to all of us to be able to say please and thank you, because both of them are really important, even in our relationship with God. Let's pray together. God, we have so much to say thank you to you for. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for your beautiful world. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. May we never forget to say thank you. And may that always make us feel closer to you, because you love us so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. And if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Nancy.
I was getting a hug from unicorn.
Oh, you were getting a hug from your unicorn. So sweet. Unicorns give the best hugs. So this morning we find ourselves walking along with Jesus in the 17th chapter of Luke in an in-between place. You may know, if you've been worshiping with us for a while, that we've been going through this middle part of Luke's gospel, and Jesus is on a journey. He sets out in the 9th chapter of Luke, leaving Galilee and going to Jerusalem. And he doesn't get to Jerusalem for a couple of more chapters. So we're still on that journey. And this morning we find him somewhere in between Galilee and Samaria. Now, you may know a little bit about the Samaritans and the Jews. They did not associate with each other. They didn't like each other. They didn't share meals together. They didn't worship together. They, in many ways, considered each other enemies. And so here Jesus is walking into the space created by two peoples who keep their distance from each other. He's on the margins in between these two groups. And it's not surprising that it is in the margins that he comes across a group of people with leprosy. This is a group of 10, Luke tells us. And they're a mixture of Jews and Samaritans. There's at least one Samaritan that we know of. And so normally these two groups who would not associate with each other have found each other in the margins, because these are people who've been pushed to the margins by their homes, by their own peoples. It was the way it was. If you came down with leprosy, you were considered unclean. It was considered to be a very contagious disease. And so you could no longer live with your family. You couldn't sit at the table with friends and enjoy a meal. You couldn't go to the temple or to the synagogue. You had to keep your distance from people, and as you walked through a public area, you had to cover your mouth and say, "Unclean, unclean," so everybody could get out of your way. So these were folks who had lost everything, and they no longer belonged, and they were cast into the margins. And yet here in the margins, they find each other. And the fact that some were Jews and maybe more than one was a Samaritan didn't matter. The labels that they wore in society fell off once they were in the margins. It's a beautiful thing in some ways, I think, that these people who were so different, who were supposed to be enemies, found each other. And they created their own community. A community of people with the same needs, with the same disease, with the same suffering. And they connected with each other. They even, Luke tells us, cried out with the same voice. With one voice, they cried out to Jesus as he passed through the marginal space. Lord, have mercy on us. In a way, it's an image of the church and part of who we're called to be. We are all people who recognize our brokenness and our deep need. The preacher and theologian D.T. Niles, who spent most of his ministry in India, he was born in Sri Lanka, described Christianity as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That we're all beggars in need when it comes down to it. Others have said we're all equal at the foot of the cross. We're a community of people who recognize our deep need and our deep thirst for God. We all need forgiveness. We all need healing. We're all wounded and broken in our own ways. And so when we come together, all of the labels that we wear out in society fall away, and we are just children of God in it together. And we cry out with one voice, God, have mercy on us. And that's how we find these 10 lepers in the in-between space. And of course, Jesus sees them, and Jesus hears them, and Jesus heals them. He says to them, all of them, regardless of who they are, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they step out, as they trust Jesus enough to do what he says, and they start walking, they realize that they're healed. Now, why would Jesus say, go to the priest? Well, because at least in the Jewish faith, and I'm sure it was similar among the Samaritans because they were very closely related, you had to show yourself to a priest for that priest to say, yes, you're clean of the disease. Now you can come back into the society. Now you can go back home. Now you can have your life back. But it was the authority of the priest that made that determination. So all of these folks want their old life back, and they're headed to the priest to get it back. And when they realize that they're healed, 9 of them start walking faster, and 1 of them turns around. Now, before we go any further than that in the story, I want to say the story could have ended right there with the healing. Many of the stories of Jesus' healing do end that way. Someone cries out for help. Jesus heals them and sends them on their way. Powerful story of Jesus' compassion and healing love. But this particular story keeps going. It's as if Luke wants to show us something, wants to teach us something, wants us to go a step further in our understanding of who Jesus is and what he offers. The first half of the story seems to focus on the love and power of Jesus. The second half of the story focuses on the response to that love and power and invites us to consider our own responses. So on the one hand, we have the 9 who receive their healing and keep moving. Now, I don't judge them. They've been healed by Jesus. I don't think Jesus judges them necessarily in this story either. But there's something about their interaction with Jesus that ends up being sort of transactional. They ask Jesus for healing. Jesus gives them healing, and they're done. What they really want is to have their old lives back. They want to go back to the way things were. And that's what they get. They get to go back home. There's also a part of me that wonders if there's a little bit of entitlement going on here. I don't know for sure. But maybe there was a sense of, I didn't deserve leprosy. I deserve to have my life back. I deserve to have things restored. I want to go back and show everybody that I'm back to the way I was. What makes me wonder about that sense of entitlement is that there doesn't seem to be much gratitude at the end of all of the story. But then there's the one. There is one who responds in a different way. When he realizes that his leprosy has been cleansed, he turns around. And there's something about that turning. No longer is he headed back to the life he had before. Now he's going in a new direction. And it's not transactional for him. It's not just that he got what he asked for and he's ready to move on. He's not just interested in the healing. Now he wants to know the healer. He doesn't just receive the gift. He wants to go and thank the giver. It suddenly becomes now about relationship. He recognizes that his healing is not just from this magician on the side of the road, but is from God. Because the first thing he does after he turns around is to begin shouting and praising God. And then he throws himself at Jesus' feet to thank him. His heart is filled with gratitude, with praise, and worship. And so I observe these two responses in the story. And I wonder, which one am I? And I have to confess that most of the time, I'm over there with the nine. I pray, and I ask things of God. Please, God, help me get through this, whatever it is. Please, God, heal this person. Please, God, do this for our world. Please, God, make this happen. And when those things do happen, or however it unfolds, I often forget to go back and say thank you, to praise God for all that God is and all that God has done and is doing. And there is also at work in me sometimes a sense of entitlement. I deserve a decent life. I deserve good health. I deserve children who do everything I tell them to do. I deserve, and when some of that is taken away from me, or when challenges come up, or when I face an illness or chronic pain or whatever it is, I deserve to be healed from that. I deserve for it to be taken away, and if it is, I'm ready to move on and get back to my old life the way it was. I sense that in myself. When was the last time that I praised God in a full body experience? When was the last time I was engulfed in that sense of gratitude for God, for who God is? Our friends who come from the Presbyterian tradition have at their theological foundation what's called the Westminster Catechism. And the very first thing in the Westminster Catechism says that the purpose of humankind is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. Do I really understand that as my primary purpose in life? To glorify God and to enjoy a relationship with God forever? How many times, even in the course of one worship service, do I have to praise God, to glorify God, to give thanks to God? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the communion liturgy. It is right and a good and perfect thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God. Really? It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, O God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. When Nancy announced that we are all forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, do I say, glory be to God, thanks be to God? Or do I say, thanks be to God? There's an opportunity every 5 or 10 minutes in the service of worship to praise God and thanks God. And I want to do that with my whole heart, and so often I don't. So what is it about this Samaritan, about the one that inspired him to turn around and run back to Jesus, praising God with his whole body and throwing himself at Jesus' feet in gratitude? What's the difference? I don't really know. But I have to wonder if some of it had to do with the fact that he was a Samaritan, that he was on the margins in several different ways. The other 9 perhaps could go back to the temple because they were welcome there. They could show themselves to the priest and be deemed clean and get their old lives back. But maybe the Samaritan didn't have that option. Maybe he wouldn't be welcomed by the priest. Maybe he saw in Jesus now there was no need for the priest to tell him he was whole because Jesus had made it so. Maybe he was so filled with gratitude because Jesus had seen him for who he was, hadn't seen the label, hadn't seen anything but a human being beloved and worthy. And he rejoiced with gratitude. And I think about in my own ministry the times that I have witnessed that kind of gratitude and praise from people. And often it's people who've been marginalized for one reason or another who are so grateful to encounter God's grace and love, like the thirst is being quenched. I think about the opportunity I've had to serve communion to those who are imprisoned. My beloved friend Jerry Nail is here, who was from my former church, who opened the door for me to go there. And to be able to offer the bread and cup and to see the gratitude that the message of inclusion and belovedness for those men in that chapel, drinking it down like I've never drunk down the communion cup before. Or taking communion to someone who's been in a nursing home for many years and feels isolated and forgotten, and to go and say, our church loves you, our church remembers you, here is the body and blood of Christ, and see them receive that with such joy and gratitude, not to me, not to the church, but to God. Or to have the privilege of standing at our booth at the Pride Festival and offering communion. Every year when I do that, there's someone who says, I haven't had communion in 20 years. And they're so grateful to drink from that cup and to be reminded that they're included in God's grace. I forget what it's like to need it so much and to be so grateful when I receive it. I want to be like that Samaritan, ever mindful and ever grateful and ever praising God. He turned to Jesus, dancing and singing God's praise, and his life was never the same. May our gratitude shape our response to God, and may we, with everything we do and everything we say, say thanks be to God. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card that are they're located in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plates as they're passed down in a few moments. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We give you thanks for the ways in which your healing love is at work in our world, making all things new. We thank you, too, that you are never far from us, and that our lives are ever enfolded in your care. We pray this day for those who are seeking healing, whether in body, mind, or spirit. For those who struggle with chronic pain and illness, as well as those with acute needs whose lives hang in the balance. For those struggling with addiction. For those whose mental health is suffering. For those who feel lonely. For those who feel despair, for those who feel ashamed, and for those who have more questions than answers. For all of these, O God, we ask your mercy, your grace, and your peace. We pray too for the helpers and healers in our world, for doctors, nurses, and medical staff, for emergency responders, for therapists and counselors, for social workers, and for faith leaders. May they be sustained in their work and find fulfillment in caring for your people. O God, give all of us compassionate hearts, that when we see pain and injustice in our world, we might turn toward your hurting people and do what we can to alleviate their suffering. Help us to remember all that you have done for us, that we might offer our thanks and praise in all times and in all places, and draw closer in relationship with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates in a moment. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
as our time comes to an end together, there are some who will choose to return to your seats and experience the final organ voluntary as a final act of praise. There are others who will choose to go and fellowship in the Narthex or in Reed Hall. The choice is yours, and all are acts of praise and gratitude. How does the creature say thanks? By the way we live, by the way we love, once we leave this place. So let us go in gratitude and praise and joy and peace. Amen.